This is a spiritual reading being given for Lynette Henley on Saturday, the 13th of December 2025, by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. We stand within the hall of memory, and the hall of memory it's a metaphor, if you like. The book of the soul is given to us, and the book of the soul also, that is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations that your soul has entered into since it first came into incarnation many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. It's a big book. Now, normally I would be telling you about the cover of the book, which represents certain qualities of soul that are unique, if you like, to you, and will be part of your later incarnations. However, this time I've directed to open the book, and there on the first page is a vivid image. It's a bit like a beautiful painting, and in it I'm seeing you from behind, and you've been walking down a long dark hallway, and now you've emerged out of the darkness into you're no longer in the hallway, it's like you've come out of the building, you're standing outside, and it's just before the sunrise, so it's light, but the sun has not yet risen. And the sky is beautiful roses and blues with stars sparkling in them. And you're looking out over the ocean, and there's land in the distance. Now, what this means is that in the last 2-3 years, and probably in the last year or so, you would have been going through a really difficult time. A lot of pain involved. A lot of stuff coming to the surface that had been perhaps buried or ignored or shut away for many, many years of your life. And then it erupts, and it's like an ambush. And so I think that you've been wondering what on earth life is all about for the last year, couple of years. And it's interesting because pain almost always has a spiritual purpose, and that purpose is to either wake us up and say, hey, there's more in the world than you've been looking at. Sometimes it's there to make us change direction. And sometimes it comes in to reveal a truth about ourselves that we would not have seen otherwise without that particular pain. Now you are entering into a very significant 5 to 6 year period, and it's as though you've come to the end of one part of your life, and you are preparing to move forward. But before you can move forward, there is a transition period. It's like the picture where I see you standing in the dawn time before the rising of the sun. And that is a transition time. There's greater and greater light coming, and that enables you to see what's around you with greater clarity. But the first part of this 5-year period, you probably experience as a dissolution and a releasing of certain aspects of your life. It's as though the soul takes a good look around and says, well, I'm getting ready for the new cycle and I need to clear out some stuff first. Before summer comes, you have to spring clean. And so the next couple of years, I think you're going to be looking at different aspects of your life, different relationships, where you're putting your energies, your home, etc. And I think you're going to be a bit ruthless, or life's going to be a bit ruthless for you. Because you will find that a lot of stuff, people perhaps, situations that up till now you've thought very important, they are just going to fade away until after a couple of years. Really, I would think to about 2028, you will find that you've been left with a skeleton of your life, so to speak. And that means that you can start to put flesh on that skeleton. Or it's more like building a house, where you take away all the extraneous bits and you're left with a framework. So from about mid, or the first third of 2028, you're going to start rebuilding yourself. So that the best advice that I can give you over the next couple of years is, first of all, this is a significant period. Find what it's teaching you. Second, be prepared to release and let go of things from the past. And third, be prepared to begin a new phase of life, a re-creation, a re-emergence, a redefinition in about 3 years' time, 2.5 years' time. It's as though you're losing one identity, one way of thinking about yourself, so that you can build a new identity, a new Lynette. Now, I've talked a lot about the life journey because it really relates to the question that you've asked. You've asked just the one question. Have you been blocking off your soul partner, and how do you undo this? I guess that by soul partner, you're talking about a soulmate or someone who is on the same soul wavelength, if you like, as yourself. Now, my first thought about this is, why do you want a soul partner? Is it because you feel lonely in your life? Is it because you feel unfulfilled? Is it because you feel you lack purpose in your life? Is it because you feel isolated and ignored by others? So that if you're feeling, entering into a phase where you're feeling loneliness and isolation, that's actually not a bad thing. Because such feelings give us a chance to discover how strong we are. Now, in my experience, there is no such thing as a soulmate who just comes along to make you feel good about yourself, to look after you, to be there for you, to keep you company so that you don't feel alone. That sort of function would be better fulfilled by a pet. Get a dog. What a soul partner or a soul mate is there for is to assist you in that task or tasks, that work which you have decided to undertake. And if you just say to me, John, I'm not doing anything, I'm just retired, I don't have a career, I don't do anything anymore, then why would you? You will never attract someone to keep you company as a retiree. Although, if you said to yourself and you set the goal, oh, I think I'd like to have someone to go around Australia with, or to travel overseas, or to do something. See, if you start thinking in terms of what you want to do, then it may well happen that you will attract another soul who will assist you in this, because you will be assisting them in their task, in their work. This is going to be infuriating, I know, but there's not going to be an answer for you here for a couple of years. But I love the fact that you are asking that question, because somewhere, somehow, you know there is change coming. The next couple of years, I wouldn't be bothered thinking about soul partners, because I think you'll be busy enough trying to keep track of life and where it's going. And I suspect that you don't really have a goal at the moment. But, or the goals that you did have, they are no longer, or they're going to be no longer relevant in your life. And this happens. We complete one task, we achieve one goal, and we should then move on, look for another goal in our life. The interesting thing about the soul partner is that it's related to how you express yourself. So the more you express yourself with love, with kindness, with helping and assisting other people, with helping people deal with their own problems, the more you will attract someone on the soul levels who will help and assist you to deal with your life and your problems. And to the extent that we put out kindness and love and caring towards other people, we receive back exactly the same measure. So, I suppose if you were a calculating sort of person, you could say, well, I'll look after, 5, 10, 15 people around me, and I'll visit them every few days or perhaps once a month, and I'll take them Lamingtons, that's what I'll do. That will show how much I appreciate their kindness and how they can see me. I'll do something practical for them. And so you could, I suppose, and I don't think you're the sort of person at all, by the way, but someone who thought like that might think, well, if I give out so much, I'm going to receive so much. And there is, that is of course true. we reap what we sow. But that person who does it out of calculation is never satisfied with what is given back to them. So therefore, if you want to attract a soul partner, focus on how you want to be creative in the world. And I suspect, Lynette, that you are basically a very creative individual, and we'll come to that shortly. You may find that you're moving in the next year, having to change home, or that there's some sort of energy that's coming into the home that's upsetting and pushing for change. Now, I would like to open the Book of the Soul to the current life. And here, the soul depicts itself on the right-hand side, the right-hand page, as a beautiful coloured picture or diagram, and these are the colours of the aura that I'll relay shortly so that Melody will create the aura chart for you. On the left-hand side, sometimes there is a verse, sometimes there's just a line, so we'll have to wait and see what manifests there. And that will be about purpose. And at the moment, it's interesting because it's blank. In other words, I suspect that you've achieved the purpose for which your soul came into incarnation. But the wonderful thing is that when we've achieved our purpose, that is to rebalance karma with different individuals, then Spirit says, oh, he did that quite well in it. Look, let's see how you handle this situation and this person. And then it gives you more work to do. So, because it's blank at the moment, I think you've come to the end of one task in your life, and that over the next couple of years, there is a watching and waiting period while Spirit, the spiritual forces that surround us and guide us, assess what they can set you next. And you might say, but I'm retired. Well, we never retire from Spirit. Well, we do retire from Spirit. That's when we're dead. We've definitely retired from the spiritual point of view then. But Spirit thinks that as long as we are in a physical body, we are in a position to influence and make changes in the physical world. So if you've shown that you are a strong, determined, capable person, Spirit says, well, we're not going to let that go to waste. We're going to use the strength and creativity in other areas. So let's come back to the aura. And the aura colours are expressions of the soul gained through many incarnations. And the first colour that I see is a light red. It's got sort of a touch of orange in it, but it's like a blazing fire. Indicates a strong sense of individuality and a sort of a restless nature. The ability to radiate out warmth towards other people. I don't know what you've done in your life, but you would have made a great teacher with that colour as first colour. Or any career where you are managing and motivating other people. The second colour is a light rose, and That's interesting because I would think you should be an artist with that color. Either an artist, an ardent gardener, or a clairvoyant. It's very, very light, which indicates that the capacities, the gifts there are. Have a certain purity. Then around the body, as a third color, is a deep green. That's not such a good color. That means that there's been certain deception. Certain falsities within your life and indicates that others have lied to you in the past and that you at times struggle to be completely open and clear in certain spheres of communication. There's also, and that color can also indicate jealousy or envy working within the life, as though you feel that life has pushed you aside and other people have got the prize. From the shoulders, light rose. Again, mixed with again light red. When colors repeat themselves, it's an indication that the soul is determined to express itself on those levels. And as I've said, the light red. Well, people who are business people actually often have light red because it's the ability to get on with other people, employees or customers or bosses, and to help people see things from a really positive point of view. Blues around the head, outside the head, light yellow brown inside the head. Well, blue is quite a depressive color when it comes up like this. And I think that in recent years you've probably wept more than you've laughed, that you've had to face some really difficult choices. And perhaps you've farewelled or said goodbye to people you were close to, or you've lost certain people out of your life. The dark blue can have quite a negative effect because it questions, makes us question our self-worth. And what we've achieved, and it really tests us to come back and say, I can still achieve what I set my mind to. And if you tackle life with that, then the qualities of the blue, which are basically, perhaps this sounds a bit strange, but they're basically a religious nature. Instead of being a restraint and something that ties you back into the old, then it frees you to communicate with spirit in a real way. That deep blue colour can indicate a connection with a religious or spiritual sect or church or group that has had a controlling influence in your life, especially in the way you thought about life and what you deserved. So it's a great time to release that, to let that go. Within the head, the light yellow brown, practical thinking. Ability to communicate with clarity. Often ability to organize, to write. And if you haven't done this in your life, perhaps you could think about taking up writing. Join a writer's club, take a writing class, because you have both, you have three attributes of a writer. The first is that the light red means that you're willing to try things, try new things. And the more you try new things, by the way, the stronger that builds that energy. And the more energy that you feel within yourself, the more vigorous and vital and healthy and full of well-being you feel. You need to use that colour, and you need to do new things in order to make that colour work. Then so the first thing is that you've got a sort of a daring and audaciousness there. And then the second attribute of a writer is sensitivity, and that's what the rose brings. And the third aspect that a writer needs is grammar, punctuation, clarity of communication, editing, checking, rechecking. And hopefully you've been able to use these energies in your life in a creative way. Because if you didn't use them in a creative way, you're going to feel a little bit cheated at this stage of your life. That you missed out, that you didn't achieve what you could have achieved. But there is always time. As long as we draw breath, we can create. The symbol of the over-self, which we see above the head, Melody's reminding me I have to give you the vortex. Yes. Dark blue with a purplish tinge. And the vortex represents the energies, the spiritual energies that are coming into consciousness in the next year or so. The symbol of the over-self, which hovers about 4 to 5 inches above the head, is a spiral tower. And what I mean by that, it's a spiral staircase inside a tower. And you're standing at the top and you're dropping little balls down, little, like pebbles, and they're rolling around the spiral until they come out at the other end. And that has significance about what you're doing in life at the moment and the next steps that you need to take. Above the head, the influencing colours are light yellows, and below the feet are reds. That's all I'll say. Well, let's come back for a moment, because
you were going to do symbol of the over-self.
Symbol of the over-self.
You were.
It was. The symbol of the over-self is the spiral tower, with the individual at the top rolling balls down. The symbol becomes a reality the closer you get to spirit. And when one touches the reality of spirit, then one becomes that reality. The first colour, light red. Huh. had an incarnation in the first part of the 20th century, here in a female body, and you were a basketball player. I suspect that there were no, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, I suspect that women's basketball was very much a minor sport, but, and plus you were coloured.
Yeah.
So a coloured female basketball player, well, you were very, very good, and your name in that incarnation was something like Gertrude or Gertie or Greta. Gertrude, I think we'll go with Gertrude. And in that incarnation, you worked on the physical body so that you were a very, very good player, one of the best players in the competition at that time. You married a man who was abusive. He would get drunk and he ended up killing you in a fit of drunken rage. If that person came back in this incarnation, you would be very wary of them, and hopefully the abuse, you would be able to stand up or stop the abuse in this particular relationship. Unlikely to come back as a partner or a husband, by the way, but perhaps as a family member or someone in the work environment. Now what that means is that there's because you died quite young, there is a greater energy in the next incarnation and a greater capacity to achieve and a greater drive to achieve sometimes, so that if you you are getting you throughout your life, we work at a job or create a career, and we can identify with that, and then that career finishes, that workplace scenario finishes, and we have to recreate who we are. We're no longer that person who sat at a computer all day or taught kids in a school or worked in a hospital. We're no longer that person, so we have to move forward and find who we're going to be next. Or you could look at the other way around. What is the person we want to ourselves to become? Incarnation in, I think, about 200 years before Christ. Here you're in a male body, and I see you fighting. You're a soldier, sitting on a horse, got a helmet with a sort of a crest on, horses, dyed horse hair, it's red. And you're a very good commander. You were leading troops against Carthage, which was a city in Phoenicia. And the wars were called the Punic Wars. And where I see it, it's the end of the wars. And you're leading troops from a boat onto the land to assault the city of Carthage. And the Romans won that siege, but you were struck by a shot, a rock thrown from some kind of machine. and you died there. Now, that would have an interesting effect in this incarnation, because first of all, you're going to not want to fight with other people, because when you did fight with that person, with that, in that war, you were knocked out. You were literally stoned. And so the futility of fighting is there. Not as a philosophical viewpoint, but as a real hesitance to sometimes even to stand up for yourself, even though you're perfectly capable and you can be very strong. There has been, perhaps in this incarnation, a reluctance to, shall we say, go to war, either on your behalf or someone else's behalf. You'd rather keep a lid on things and hope that the things that are bubbling underneath will just dissipate or go away. And it's a good thing to decide not to fight. But because you died suddenly in that incarnation, there was something not resolved. And so that what needs to be resolved is not the attitude, sorry, not the behavior, but the inner attitude and understanding that about how you relate to conflict situations, whether you're going to avoid them, whether you're going to dive in, whether you're going to pretend they don't exist. So that was something that had to be resolved in this incarnation, which hopefully you've sorted that one out by now. Another incarnation from that particular colour, and here we see you about 400 years, 300 to 400 years before Christ. As I see you, you're a young man. You are competing in the Olympics. I think it's the Olympics. There were different competitions, but I think this is the Olympic competition. And you are you're a runner, but you also fought in the ring. Very nasty fighting system, which I won't go into. But you're very competitive in that life. And when we have a life where we are competitive, it doesn't necessarily make us a very competitive person in this lifetime. Because if you have expressed that aspect of yourself and you had really bad results from it, then you'll feel very reluctant about competing. You feel that you're right. You feel that you're the best person who knows what best thing to do is here, and you would do something better than this other person, but you're probably going to bite your tongue, because if you put yourself forward, and this is what happened in the Greek incarnation, you put yourself forward, and that created a terrible rejection in the end. You died actually in the games. So in this incarnation, your best way of dealing with life situations and people is to wait to be invited, even though you probably have great managerial skills and probably great insights into situations. Nevertheless, you can't promote yourself. That doesn't seem to work. If you come along and say, I think we should do this, everyone just turns around and looks at you as though you're interfering, and why would you want to come along and tell them what to do? So that there's the rejection mechanism is set up. On the other hand, if you wait, people will turn to you and invite you to participate, so that your life attitude, if you like, or your life process is to wait for an invitation. If you do, then you will find that you are welcomed in, and your skills, your particular personal skills, are appreciated by people in that particular group. And the consequence of not waiting is worse than frustration. It becomes bitterness, because you feel rejection by a group or an organization or even just a friend. So wait. That's waiting is a powerful, powerful act. And if you can't change someone else, if you can't make changes for someone else, make changes for yourself. And that's always very attractive to other people. The third colour, the deep green, the difficult colour, and as I've said, I think the last year especially, but perhaps the last 2 years, must have been really difficult. The darker greens are not good, because they indicate levels or layers of deception within the life. And when they come along, it's difficult to get deals done in fairness and clarity, because communication tends to be at a low level. So people make promises and they don't keep them. They make deals and the deals fall through. If this has happened, then allow a couple of years to recover from that. That what is an old song that says, everything old is new again. So the old retires, dissolves, dies away within the life, but that's so that the new can begin to spring forth and create a new shape in the life. One thing that's helpful when you've got green there is to have music in your life, even if it's just listening. Singing is really helpful too, because it clears the energies and loosens up the blockages that particular colour is representing. Incarnation in India in the, I think, 19th century, you were in a male body, you were English, and you worked as a clerk for the judge, important judge, and you used to take bribes from people to put them in front of the judge so people could come and slip some money under the counter, and you would move them to the front of the judicial queue, so to speak. And you also had a bit of a scam going where you could persuade, for a small fee of course, you could persuade witnesses to give a testimony that favoured your client, the one that was paying you the money, and perhaps depart a bit from the truth. So you accumulated a fair bit of money, and you were going home to England. You were in your late 40s, and you had all the money with you on board, and the ship sunk, and you and all the money sunk with it. So I think in this incarnation you would want to be scrupulously honest and keep everything above board. Also, green is quite a restless colour, and it indicates, it helps if you travel from time to time. Don't just stay in the one place, but go and visit other towns, other cities. Go on a tour. Go to Europe. Don't go to America, unless you don't have a social media account, in which case you might risk it. But do some of the things that will make you feel more free. Don't wait for someone else to come and join in. Just do things that feel good to you. Go places. Go to places you'd wanted to go. Go and have a good time. Incarnation in Egypt about 2000 no not that long ago about 2000 years ago, the first or second century before Christ, I think. And in this incarnation you're a female body, and you work for the priesthood, and you were in the temple of, I don't think it was Isis, but it was a female goddess, and part of your job was to sing or chant down a long tube behind the back of the image of the goddess, so that people thought that it was the goddess speaking. And so people would come to you and or come to the goddess and ask for advice and oracles, and you would go into a trance and then you would sing the response down. And in a sense, I suppose that it wasn't the people weren't being cheated, because you were, in a sense, taken over by the spirit of the goddess. And I think that there's a huge sensitivity there, Lynette. I think there's a great sensitivity towards atmosphere and towards picking up thoughts and emotions and feelings from other people. And the best way to cope with that is to first of all recognize that might be happening to you. And if you feel down or you feel angry or you have an emotion around a particular person, instead of saying, oh God, that I feel angry about this, just check in with the thought, does that anger belong to me? And you may find that that anger or that feeling, that emotion, that sadness, that despair, that depression actually belongs to someone else. Or it might be a situation in your life that creates the sadness. But there is a sensitivity there. And I can understand why you would be thinking about a soul partner. There was in the incarnation of the priestess, you were associated with a male figure who was also a priest, and the two of you belonged to different temples, but you had a really good working relationship, and because you had the religion, the spirituality in common, you could communicate. And you may meet this person again in the second half of 2028, and you'll recognize him. He should be in a male body, because apart from what we sometimes call instant recognition, where you feel, oh, I've met this person somewhere before, you'll find that you have commonalities in your life, perhaps in your work situation, but you've done similar work in your life, where you've got similar interests now. And if you have this interaction, if this person enters into your life, you'll know it's a soul partnership, because the two of you want to achieve the same thing. You want to do the same thing with your lives. The vortex is very unusual. It's a deep blue with a purplish tinge. Now, this may sound strange, but in a sense, this energy represents a new spiritual impulse or opportunity entering into your life. And the blue is an expansion of understanding about spirit, about your spirit, your divinity, your soul, your purposes in this incarnation. The purples can indicate that you will be able to help others in a mediator's role. And as I said, this will happen because people come to you. It's like setting up as a counsellor. And that doesn't have to happen literally, but it is like that, where people know where you are and how to come to you and when to come to you. And so that you'll find yourself with the opportunity of helping other souls in that way. The light yellows of the influencing colour says this is a good time for reflection, to have a look at your life, to not look at it with judgment, but to look at it with objectivity and say, how did that help me become a better person? What did I learn from that? And of course, the soul creates the life. No one else created this life for you. You created that. before you came into incarnation, of course, and you had the help of other beings, but it was basically your decision. So great time to look back on life from this perspective, to see yourself as a spiritual being that entered incarnation in order to learn. The reds underneath the feet, good period, especially the next year, to make changes in your life, to start to move forward, to try different directions. It may even work out on a physical level that you have to move, or that you have quite strong disturbing energies coming into your home environment. The symbol of the Overself, well, that's a sort of a technical term for a message from your I Am, or your inner divinity. The soul creates the life, the incarnation that you've had, but at the core of the soul is a seed of divinity, and that is what we want to build every incarnation. It's like a light. We want to make it burn brighter and stronger with every life that we enter into. And this this seed, the spark of divinity, won't talk to us directly, but it's obligingly provided us with an image. It's called the image, or the symbol of the Overself, and it's a tower. It's a small tower, but it's big enough for you to be up there, and you're sitting at the top, and winding up the tower, at the inside of the tower, is a spiral staircase. And you're sitting at the top, and you're pushing balls down, so the balls go round and round and round, they come out at the other end, and say, well, that was fun, I'll do it again. And you send another ball down, and it goes round and round and round, and it comes out again. And what this means is that don't repeat the old patterns over and over again, because you'll just get the old results over and over again. And what needs to happen, will happen over the next 2 years, is instead of you sitting up there making decisions and judgments and saying, well, this is what I can do and I can't do, you are going to have to descend that tower, and it's going to take you in circles through your life until you come out the door at the other end, and then you will have made a big step forward into creating the new life, the new partnership, the new recognition of self. And I hope that you're ready to pick up the new tasks that Spirit wants to gift you with, because Spirit thinks you are a very capable and gifted individual and being. And when we utilize our gifts, it's a gift to all of humanity. So shall it be.